Allow me to read for a devotional this morning from a previous bulletin, written by Pastor Gabe Stonecker. He writes, "The Lord Jesus Christ does not show blind men how to see. He gives them new eyes and they see Him. The Lord Jesus Christ does not tell deaf men how to hear. He gives them new ears and they hear of Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not beg lame men to walk. No, He gives them new legs and they leap as a hart and they follow Him. All who are in Christ receive a new mind of repentance towards Him, a new will that bows to Him, a new heart that believes and loves Him. Yes, if any man be in Christ, he is, as according to Scripture, a new creature." I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22. We just read in the Psalms. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of the saints, and of the beasts of the earth. Right there. Now, I didn't read this before I brought today's message, before I sat down to consider today's message. This is how the Lord works. How often have we in the men's meetings sat there and the man who was chosen the week before volunteered to read scripture in the men's meeting, get up and read something that went exactly along with the Bible teacher's message, which went along exactly with the preacher's message. That has happened so many times over the last 20 years, I couldn't even count on my hands. But it's a blessing every single time because it's God's work in men. Our Lord put that psalm exactly where it needed to be today. Remember in my prayer how thankful we are that our Lord rules all things. He's sovereign over everything. How thankful I am that He put that there. There are those who would consider the message that we preach here at Rescue to be one of an isolationist. Or in other words, that we declare that we have the one true gospel. Everything else, all that is preached around us is false professors of the Word of God. There are many people gathering in many places, worshiping many somethings. But here is the true Word of God preached. Now, I'm not going to argue with those who declare that here. In fact, those who say that's all we do is declare other religions to be false and this religion here to be the truth is actually pretty true. There are few who teach that most churches are talking about the same God, with a slightly different way to take on how to get yourself there. But for the most, everyone else in all the other religions think the same way. Do not the Muslims think that theirs is the only true God? Do not the Buddhists think of themselves as the only true God? Do not the Catholics think their God, that they believe that they are the co-between, you come to me with your sins and I'll take it to God for you. Do not they believe that theirs is the only true religion?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if you sit down with one who claims to be a Jehovah Witness, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll say, oh no, those Baptist people, they got it all wrong. Those Catholic people, they're going to say the same thing that we've been saying here from this pulpit for at least the last 20 years that I've been coming here. Mormons are going to say it the same way. What about Christian churches? What about Christian churches? Do you think that we're the only ones who declare our gospel to be the only gospel preached in the area? I guarantee you go up here to the so-called non-denominational Christian church and they'll tell you, oh no, those guys down at Rescue, they're all wrong. You go over here to that church by the freeway over here and those guys over there, they'll tell you, oh no, those guys at Rescue, they got it all wrong too. They may not say it every Sunday like I just did, but you can guarantee that they're feeling it.
Yeah.
What did we just read in Psalms? This is God's word. This is not John's word standing before you. Oh God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Our Lord is declaring there are those who have come into the church and preached something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ according to scriptures. I do not take offense to those who say, John, you only preach about election. John, you only preach about total depravity. John, you only preach about this. You only preach about Jesus Christ. Why don't you share with those people the good things that the church does? Because that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Right.
Too many churches in today's world stand around bragging about what men do. And I'm going to point that out because God's word points it out. The heathen have come into the church of God. You know the scripture says that's where judgment will begin? In the church of God. These folks may not say it very often, but they feel so exactly the same way. How else can you not explain so many different churches? You know, you go to Tennessee, Kentucky, or whatever, and I've shared this with some of you before, but Bill was watching Kathy and I go through that area of the country one time. He was sitting at his computer watching that live space, whatever. You can watch on your computer as you're going through intersections. You can actually spin around and see. And he goes, my goodness, John, I've been with you now for, I'm talking to him on the phone, and he says, I've been with you for about 30 minutes now, and we've seen like 10 churches. And the strange thing is, there's 10 Baptist churches. How else could you explain that there's so many different religions? There can only be one God. There is only one God. There is only one gospel. The Word of God says this in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. And then it gives us this warning. Listen carefully. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Is that a warning? Is that God giving us a warning? Look with me at Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her. This is the Lord giving Ezekiel instruction to say unto her, the people of Israel. Say unto her, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land, speaking of Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from the Sabbaths. And I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have doubted, have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now turn, if you will, over to the book of John, chapter 4. Before I pick up there in John chapter 4, allow me to read from God's Word. In Proverbs, our Lord says this, chapter 6, verse 19, a false witness speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. In chapter 11 of Proverbs, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. In Proverbs 12, verse 17, we read this, and he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. In the 14th chapter, verse 5, we read this, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Chapter 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Chapter 19, verse 5, all of Proverbs, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And then in chapter 19, we read this, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. I ask you again, does the Lord give us warnings?
Yes, He does.
Do we not seek the whole counsel of God? John, if you would just spend more time on talking about the love of God. John, John the Baptist, all of the apostles, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, all of them, they preached what? They preached repentance and belief. Absolutely true. But what were they repenting from? They were repenting from the very things that God gives you and I warnings of.
Yes.
Turn from what man thinks is right to what God says is right. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Should we ignore the warnings or the false teachings? The false teachings of this other Jesus? Our Lord says in John 3:16, a verse that the world loves to take and say, "See, this is man's free will. You see, there is universal redemption for everybody. All you have to do is choose." But they don't read all the scripture. Allow me to read it for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but... here's part of that warning. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation. This is condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It's been said that I spend too much of my time putting down other religions and not preaching the gospel. The gospel, the good news is this, that Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Creator of all that is, the one for whom all the Godhead is seen bodily, the one whom holds all power, has come and shed His own blood. That His chosen, His elect, those that He has loved with an eternal love, you and I, those who love His gospel, because He has put that love in their hearts. All whom the Father hath given to Him should have eternal life. That's the gospel. You know why it's good news to you and I? It's because you and I know that we deserve exactly what everybody else should get. There's nothing in this man, there's nothing in any one of you that deserves the grace of our Lord and Savior. In the book of 1 John, you don't need to turn there. Chapter 4, verse 1, we read this: "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about Muslims. He's not talking about Buddhists. No. He's talking about those who stand before people in a pulpit and declare the Word of God. Those who declare that they know who the Jesus is of Scriptures. And then they go about interpreting Scriptures according to their own destruction. My job is not to interpret Scripture for you, it's to declare it.
Yeah.
And our Lord says here, "Beware, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is into the world." There were already first false Christs speaking when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. There were already Jews who were saying, "Oh yeah, believe in that Jesus, but you know, he's not all that powerful. He can do so much. You have to help out some. You have to go get yourself circumcised." That's what they said then. Is there any difference between that and saying to someone, yeah, there's a Jesus out there, but you have to walk down the aisle to let him into your heart? Making the Lord Jesus Christ weak is an abomination. And it is not according to God's word.
That's right.
Our great God has his congregation spread out throughout all times, in all nations, in every tribe, and in every different tongue or language. But they are just a few in this world of man. There's only one true God, and all else are imposters. We compare the truth with lies that man come up with, and in doing so, we see the grace of God magnified. How is it magnified, John? How is it pointing out that this religion over here is wrong, and the religion that you're talking about here in Scripture is right? How is that pointing? How is that good to us? God doesn't have to save anybody.
That's right.
Especially me. And he especially didn't have to save anyone else.
That's true.
And when you and I see that very fact, we see his grace raised up. The grace in our Savior.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not leaving us to what we deserve. Not leaving us to what we have earned. It's lifting up Jesus as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You and I could be right there in that false religion. And indeed, every one of us had been at one time or another. The religion of works. The religion that says, what must I do to be saved? Oh, I got to be a better person. Oh, I was baptized. I got baptized. I'm saved. Oh, I walked the aisle. I made a decision. I did this. I did that. We've all been there. Every one of us. But God.
Yeah.
I love that. Let me share with you some but God verses real quick before we go into John. In Acts chapter 7, we read this in verse 9. And the patriarchs moved with envy. They sold Joseph into Egypt. Now you remember, Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob had given him a coat of many colors, and his brothers, out of jealousy, sold him into Egypt. And then it says, but God was with him. The trials that man must have gone through are far greater than you and I have ever experienced. But God. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a good but God right there. Romans 6 verse 17, but God be thanked. Now listen to this carefully. Listen to this very carefully. Here's Paul writing to the Romans, chapter 6 verse 17. But God be thanked. He's thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that ye, speaking of those that he was writing to, and himself included, that ye were the servants of sin. Why would Paul say, thank you that I was a servant of sin at one time? Because we see the grace of God in delivering us from that.
That is so true.
Thank you, Jesus.
We see the grace and loving faith that our Lord has given us to believe his word. Right after he says, thank you, Lord, that we were servants of sin, he says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. And what was that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you? Christ and him crucified. We read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called, but God. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Aren't you glad about that?
Yeah.
"And chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And then my favorite, "but God," is seen in Ephesians chapter 2, verse beginning at verse 2, "where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." There's John. "Among whom also we are all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." See, Paul's including himself. He's not segregating himself there from someone else. He walked just like those people did. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus. Those are some wonderful "but Gods" to me.
Yes.
I have brought you here to John chapter 4 to see for yourselves a "but God" moment. Look at verse 1. John chapter 4, verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed unto Galilee." Now, read this next verse very, very carefully. "And he," it says, speaking of Christ Jesus, must needs, of necessity, because he had to, go through Samaria. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and is about the sixth hour." Aren't you thankful that Christ was wearied here? You say, "Well, wait a minute, John. The Lord Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh." That's absolutely right. But he was also 100% man. He knows what it's like for you and I to be hungry. He's not some king who sat on a throne all of his existence and doesn't know anything about what it is to be a needful person. He was a man. He humbled himself and became a man. And he wearied and thirsted and laughed and hungered. Verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Is that not the redeemed going out into the world declaring what our Lord has done for us? Springing up into an everlasting life? The woman saith unto him, verse 15, Sir, give me this water. I want some of that. That I thirst not, neither cometh hither to draw. And Jesus said, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sayest they truly. Woo! This guy, did she just come across this guy at the well and he knows all that stuff about me? Yes, he's 100% man, but he is also 100% God and knows everything.
Yes.
And the woman saith unto him, verse 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah, the Christ, cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And then the woman left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? One child of God, one certain woman, one chosen of God before the foundations of all creation, has gone out and proclaimed the Lord, the one who knows all things. Now look at verse 39, if you would. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Now look at this verse 42, will you? And said unto the woman, all these folks who were listening to the Lord Jesus and believed the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto the woman, Now we believe. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. My title for this morning is The Christ. There's only one. There's only one Jesus Christ. There are not many versions of Jesus Christ that are being spoken of out into the world that are the true and living God. There is only one. And to see the Lord Jesus Christ, one must be brought to understand what total depravity is. And I'll make this kind of quick. You must know what your condition is before the Lord will bring you to see who He is.
Right.
He is holy.
Right.
So holy that He cannot even look upon you and I. To know of the Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross for His people, you must see how He cannot even look upon you. See, that's the problem with men, is we don't understand depravity. In order to preach the gospel of repentance and belief on the Lord Jesus, you must understand that you never believed before. You can't believe on your own. You're not going to make a decision and walk down some aisle and start saying, "Oh, I'm just going to be a little smarter today." And everyone who sits here this morning hearing these words know from their heart,
yes,
they would not have followed Jesus if it had not been for Jesus.
That's the truth.
Amen.
You can't preach about repentance and belief on Jesus if you don't preach about the total depravity of men. You can't preach on the gospel, because that's what repentance and belief on Jesus is. It's the gospel without unconditional election. Unconditional election. It wasn't something you chose to do. It was God who chose you from before the world was. You can't preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ without preaching limited atonement. He didn't die for the sins of all people. If He died for the sins of all people, the God of Scriptures is so powerful that every single person would be saved.
Yeah.
There'd be nobody going to hell.
Right.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is irresistible grace.
Yes.
My Lord's grace for me is so powerful that I can't resist it. And when I did resist it, He came and gave me a new heart that says, "I want to hear more about His grace. I want more of it." It's what I desire now. It's what all of God's children who walk this earth desire. More grace. And you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified without preaching about perseverance of the saints. My Lord did it all. When He went to that cross, He said, "It is finished." That means it's done. I don't have anything to do. I don't have to worry about what I can't do. He's already done it for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the good news. You see, folks, all five of those points bring a sinner to know this, that it is by grace and by grace alone. And grace means that there's nothing I can do to earn it. In fact, what I do deserve, is death. I deserve God's judgment. And because I have been brought to know that very point, I love to see His grace.
Yes.
And all those points I just brought out are points that point us to the grace of God. Unmerited favor. Love for His saints. And I'll close with this. If God loves you, can anything separate you from the love of that God?
Absolutely not.
What a worthless God it would be if you could, huh? But that's not the God of Scriptures. God of Scripture says this to me. And I ask you, does He say this to you? My sheep hear My voice.
Yes.
Not a voice talking about some weak wannabe, but the voice of the all-powerful,
yes,
Creator of all things,
yes,
our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me?